Inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD, which include Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, affect as many as 1.6 million Americans, most of whom are diagnosed before age 35. These chronic, lifelong conditions can be treated but not cured. So let's talk about IBD and ways to manage it with Dr. Gabriel Winberry, a physician at WakeMed Pediatric Gastroenterology at WakeMed Children's. This is WakeMed Voices, a podcast from WakeMed Health and Hospitals. I'm Bill Klaproth. Dr. Winberry, thank you for your time. So first off, what is inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD?
So inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD, is a chronic lifelong disease that causes inflammation of the gastrointestinal or GI tract. Now, the GI tract is responsible for digestion of food, absorption of nutrients, and elimination of waste from our bodies. The GI tract includes all the parts of the body that digest the food, starting with our mouth, continuing down into our esophagus, our stomach, our small intestine, large intestine, and then the exit point, which is known as the rectum. And inflammation anywhere in these organs can affect the ability of them to work properly.
So then what causes Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis?
So currently, unfortunately, we don't know the exact cause of inflammatory bowel disease in general. A lot of progress has been made in inflammatory bowel disease research, and there's some studies indicating that we think a combination of inherited traits called genes and something in the environment may combine to cause inflammatory bowel disease. These different causes in the environment may include dietary factors, medications, bacteria, and we think that they may turn on inflammation in someone's immune system, and then genes make it more difficult for that individual person to turn off the inflammation. So as a result, this inflammation continues and causes damage to the intestine, which leads to the symptoms of inflammatory bowel disease.
And then what are the signs and symptoms of IBD?
Yeah, so ulcerative colitis causes inflammation and ulcers in the large intestine and the rectum, and Crohn's disease causes inflammation in any part of the GI tract. And so the symptoms are often based on where this inflammation occurs, but the most common long-term symptoms can be things such as ongoing diarrhea, which is loose or frequent bowel movements, crampy abdominal pain, nausea, fever, and sometimes even rectal bleeding. Fatigue, loss of appetite, and weight loss are also commonly associated symptoms as well.
Wow. Okay. So will this disease ever go away? And what is the general treatment? Does someone have to take medications for life?
Yeah. So unfortunately, our understanding right now is that IBD is a chronic condition, which means that most folks will live with this for the rest of their life. However, with appropriate treatment, many folks can go through periods of remission with no symptoms at all, and they may have occasional disease flare-ups with active disease symptoms. So there isn't a cure, but there's definitely advances being made in the treatments all the time. These treatments are generally dietary or anti-inflammatory medications that may include infusions or pills, and these are geared at controlling the symptoms and improving someone's quality of life. But folks do have to stay on these often, these diets or these medicines, for many years.
And then at what point would surgery be needed or considered?
So not everybody will need surgery for these different problems, but unfortunately, about one-third of people with ulcerative colitis and possibly up to three-quarters of people with Crohn's disease may need surgery at some point. And for some people, they may choose surgery electively, but for others, it may be necessary more emergently due to complications. And usually surgery may be needed if a person's life has been affected, even if they have a good medical treatment, or if there's side effects of the medications that are causing problems. So for ulcerative colitis, chronic diarrhea and weight loss, those types of symptoms may lead to a surgery called a colectomy, which is removal of the total colon. In Crohn's disease, the most common area of the gut that's affected is the bottom of the small intestine where it connects to the colon. This part of the gut is the most common area of surgery for Crohn's disease, which is called an ileocecal resection.
I would imagine there's foods that potentially trigger this or foods that should be avoided. So what foods can and can't someone eat, and what would be considered a good diet plan?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a very commonly asked question from our patients. Unfortunately, there's not a pre-formulated diet plan that works for every patient with inflammatory bowel disease. So dietary guidelines need to be developed based on your very specific needs with your doctor and often with a dietitian. And these do take into account whether you have Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, the severity and location of the disease, and any complications that you have. So generally, the goal is to keep a well-balanced, healthy diet that is rich in nutrition to avoid foods that cause symptoms. But now there are actually some anti-inflammatory type diets that may target some of the triggers for inflammation as well. So we can offer those to certain patients depending on what type of disease process they have. So it's an exciting time for diet and inflammatory bowel disease, but it is still a very individualized plan.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned earlier, obviously, medications, and we just talked about a good diet plan. What about alternative treatment options that would be helpful for IBD?
Many folks are definitely intrigued by alternative therapies and are going to seek complementary approaches to their treatment for Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. And these may include supplements, things like acupuncture, probiotics, or good bacteria, and even specialized diets, as we've touched on before. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of great research that shows us the various effectiveness of these different treatments at present. So there are a number of reports about many alternative therapies and some folks having individual success with them. But overall, we just don't know exactly how effective they are for everybody with inflammatory bowel disease. So they may be definitely helpful, but it's very important to discuss these options with your physician and possibly your dietitian, because you're likely going to want to continue your medications and your medical plan and use it as an adjunct to your regular therapies.
And then, does stress play a role in the disease, and where can someone find emotional support?
Yeah, so definitely stress, we don't think, is a direct cause for inflammatory bowel disease, but stressful situations and strong emotions can definitely lead to flare-up symptoms for some people with inflammatory bowel disease. And it doesn't necessarily mean everybody with stress will experience a flare-up, or even that you're going to be more prone to having stress-related flares if you have inflammatory bowel disease. But there can be these links that can develop for different people. Just like all of us, stress can affect the GI tract. And so for those who do have stress and IBD and it's causing a problem, it is important to learn some stress management techniques. And so many patients will work with a psychologist through their doctor's office, or there are many online and in-person support groups as well locally that folks can meet with some other patients with inflammatory bowel disease to discuss stress management techniques.
And then, are there any financial assistance programs available to help someone pay for the medication?
Yeah. So unfortunately, some of these higher level medications, though they can really be successful in treating Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, they can sometimes come with a high cost. And so if your insurance doesn't cover the entire cost of these medicines, many pharmaceutical companies do offer patient assistance programs that will try to bridge the gap between what insurance covers and what the drug costs. So for many of our patients, we have a list of resources with our social worker, and usually we'll contact the pharmaceutical company to find out the requirements for a patient to be eligible. There are also some nonprofit organizations who may provide some copay assistance as well to help make these medications more affordable. Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a great discussion. A lot of wonderful information. Dr. Winberry, thank you so much for your time today. This has really been great.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Gabriel Winberry, and for more information, please visit wakemed.org. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you. I'm Bill Klaproth with Wake Med Voices, brought to you by Wake Med Children's in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for listening.